Well, the housing market's been anything but predictable these last few years. We've seen interest rates climb from historic lows. We've seen buying frenzies going on with, you know, multiple offers, prices of homes rising. And then we've seen things level off a little bit. We've seen offers, you know, not come in as quickly. Just a lot going on. A lot of people wondering a lot of things. Is now the time to jump in? Or do we wait? You know, a lot of confusion, a lot of questions out there. Well, today we're taking a closer look at what all of that means right here in West Michigan. You know, what's really happening in our local market? Who's buying, who's selling, and who's staying put because of what's being called the lock-in effect? I'm Dan Hansen, and this is Home in Progress, brought to you by Repco Light Paints and Benjamin Moore. And joining me today are West Michigan realtors Sue Prinz and Ginger Herman from Sue Prinz Group 5-Star Real Estate Leaders. We're going to talk about what's shifting, what's staying the same, and what it all means for anybody out there thinking about buying or selling a home in 2025 or 2026 as we move into that. Sue and Ginger, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we do this periodically. And
well, Dan, the last time you had us on was April. So I just want to point out,
Ginger,
it's been 6 months.
Periodically, there's no defined date.
Okay, when true.
Periodically means once in a period or so. And that period of time was 6 months. Well, you kind of get on my nerves after a while.
I think last time I called you, you looked like Santa or something.
You've called me a lot of names, Sue. And in fact, it was kind of funny. Sue, you wanted to take a social media picture or something, you know, so you could throw it on social media. Yeah. Just take a regular picture. And so you tried to do it, but your arms weren't long enough to get the camera far enough away to see us all. So Ginger, you took it because you got a better angle. And they take this picture and Ginger looks at it and says, "Dan, you look absolutely furious." I'm sitting there with my arms crossed
and just a mean mug look on you. I don't know.
I was in between smiles.
It's fine.
That was not indicative of my feelings.
It's fine.
For you guys.
We're at fault too. I haven't reached out to you in 6 months either. So
well, I'm not taking
it's a two-way street here.
If you want to take blame and say you're at fault, don't add two to that because okay. I'm not responsible. No, I guess I am because Sue, you reached out and I just never had time to get back.
You never got back with me.
Anyway, periodically means once in a while. So
we're
here again. And I want to talk about the state of the market, where things are at, what things look like. And I don't know. I want to start with this. If you guys had to pick three words to describe the market right now, what we're in, what would you pick? What would you say?
Now, I would have liked that in an email before I sat down in the seat.
That's why I did this way. This puts me in the position of power.
Still looking good.
Okay, yeah. So three words like that. You'd string them a sentence together. Still looking good.
Do you I mean,
three words. What do you mean, string it together?
No.
I think
be
he was looking
positive,
for character. Yeah.
Upbeat. But I like what you did,
still
Sue. You get a good
you're
grade.
Buyer or seller, still looking
still
good.
Looking good.
That's true because no matter which side you're on,
yeah,
it's looking
so that's,
good.
You're in agreement with that, Jen?
Yeah, I was going to probably go a little bit more. We're slowly increasing to a seller's market again. Summer was kind of neutral. I don't want to say 100% neutral, but we were pretty slow. We didn't have that much inventory, and there just weren't that many buyers looking, which is typical. It's seasonal
typical for
us.
Typical for summer.
Yep.
Yeah, and buyers got really picky over the summer.
Yeah.
It's probably interest rates.
Different.
Just, you know, they got really picky. So now that we're, you know, school's already in session, people are back to a routine. We are slowly increasing back to there's more on the market, not a ton. Mm-hmm. There's more on the market and there's a lot more buyers out there searching. So we're seeing more multiple offers slowly creep in.
Okay. So it's starting to.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So when you say people were picky, buyers were picky, what does that literally mean?
I they
mean,
were. They would walk in.
Saying, oh, no. Not
they'd walk me. In a house and be like, this house is messy. I don't want it. And we'd be like, well, wait. Yeah, wait a minute.
With a smaller inventory, though, what made that happen, do you think? That seems weird.
Don't you feel like it's just like they settled into, you know, just for so long. It was just so stressful for buyers in these multiple offer situations. And I feel like there was this more settling into that, more patience on the part of the buyer.
Yeah. Not a huge urgency to jump into a house. They were like, you know what? The rates are pretty much staying where they are the last year. So we're going to wait to find the actual perfect home.
Rather
yes.
than,
okay.
We got to make a decision.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I've been reading about something. I think that's kind of what you're talking about, the lock-in effect.
Yeah.
You know, basically just for everybody out there, you guys correct me if I've got this wrong. But basically, it means homeowners are locked in. They're locked into their current low mortgage rate. You know, mm-hmm. They'd move if they could. A lot of them would. Mm-hmm. But replacing a 3% mortgage with one that's closer to 7, you know, 6 to 7, it just makes it too expensive to trade up or know, downsize, whatever.
Yep.
So you're seeing that here? Okay, so that's something that we see here.
I also think we had a lot of talk this summer of, you know, inflation, tariffs. People were nervous. They were. It's normal. It's kind of a bummer because, I don't know.
Is summer normally really busy? Or is summer normally something that's a little slower?
The cycle is this. In the spring, that's our busiest market. And that kind of kicks in when the first warming trend of, you know, days, a few days at least in a row where the weather's warm and then people just sort of, you know, come out of the woodwork and get excited about buying. So spring definitely still our hottest market. So, and it's a short market because then when summer hits, remember, people want to be settled in by mid-August into the home. So that means it takes 30 days to get to a closing. So, you know, people with families and kids thinking about school, sports, whatever, they want to have their decision made by middle of July so that they're settled in at least middle to late August. So you can see how short our market is. Because if our spring market doesn't kick in until, like, say, April, that's not a ton of time. Mm-hmm. April, May, June, by July, got to have a decision, got to be in my house in August. And then it slowly starts to, typically, starts to, you know, the desirability of the buyers wanting to get in a home starts to be like, maybe we kind of sit back, wait a little bit, have more patience for the right one, maybe get a better buy in the winter when, you know, houses aren't moving as quickly. I'm not in a multiple offer
situation. So not quite yet, but it's starting to build up now is what you would say.
I would say we're there, though.
I just want to pause for a second because I want to go back to the very beginning of the show. So early spring is when it's busiest. So like, let's say April.
Yes.
When
a radio expert might have had you on the show in April.
Yes.
And then summer, it's kind of slow.
It's kind of slow.
So not a whole lot going on. Probably not a big reason to have you on the radio. But then when it gets to October again, now it seems like a really smart time again, doesn't it?
You know what? You're so smart.
It makes me feel really good. Really good to watch you guys finally connect the dots to where I was going.
Yeah, it took me a while.
Yeah.
You saw it.
You didn't expect that sneaky jab.
No.
All right.
So we're in that period of time right now where, yes, it's starting to slow down a little bit. But I look at this.
No, we're in the period of time of being busy.
She just looked at me like,
you're busy.
I'm busy right now.
Well, I like the way this has gone.
Oh, now we're having a team fight.
Well, now we're going to have a beef.
Who's busier? Yeah. Who's
I'm in the studio with Sue Prince and Ginger Herman, and we're going to beef about this.
Yes.
You're not busy. Ginger, you're just, it's flying off the shelves for you.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Sounds like I need to refer business to Sue.
So, Ginger, you're working with a lot of buyers right now who are probably in that lower price range. Is that what you're saying?
Under 400.
Okay, yeah.
Under 400,000.
That's a lower price range?
Yes, it is.
Average sales price in Kent County is about 375, somewhere between 375, 385.
Where I'm at.
Yep.
Not moving. Can't move.
By the end of the show, we'll have you locked into a new home, Dan.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
So you're working with like more expensive?
Yeah, a little higher end. And that's
sellers.
A little.
You have some unique properties out there. But think about it. In the last 2 weeks, you and I were both like, we're so busy, we're losing our marbles. Remember that?
Yeah.
So you lost your marbles so much that you can't even remember.
So quickly she forgets. Well, it's kind of weird. I feel like school now starts earlier than what it was when I was going to school. So we almost, don't you feel like that summer market dragged on a little bit longer than normal, which was a little odd. And then all of a sudden we just got slammed. It's like, everyone was now ready to sell. Everyone was ready to go out and buy.
This is true. This year has been a little weird.
It was really weird how we just,
I would agree with that.
All of a sudden, you even talked to some other agents at Five Star Real Estate and it was like same thing. We all kind of got hit at that, second week of September. It was like, boom, here we are.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
Yeah. It's like people took a little pause. But yeah. So crazy thing is I'm listing more properties now than I did in the spring, which is, you get excited as a listing agent, you know, about that. But now they're sitting longer.
Mm-hmm. So we have more days on the market now.
That doesn't feel so good. But the stats are there too. Like
So sitting longer, does that bring the pricing down or not yet?
It can.
Yeah, okay. It can. If you're not, you know, if it's sitting there and you're not getting activity, well, we know what we need to do as, you know, if we're in that position as a listing agent.
You also have some unique properties for sale right now because she's got some.
I have lakefront property. A majority of
on like all sport lakes
lake,
and.
Yeah, yep. Our lake properties. So then, you know, that market is also different.
Because also people are now like, well, I'm going to buy this house and immediately winterize, right? Like everything outside. Sure. I don't get to necessarily enjoy the lake.
Whereas
you're listing.
So that makes them less likely to want to buy those right now?
Lakefront, yeah.
Okay.
We see
okay.
slower on the lakefront end now, which is, it's so funny too, because if you're a buyer looking for a lakefront, like we want to scream at them, buy it now.
Yeah.
Right? You have less competition, do it now.
Right.
But you're right, we're heading into a slower season just because she's referring to the closer that we get to the holidays. So the closer that we get to Thanksgiving, Christmas, we really slow down.
Oh, yeah.
Not a lot of people want to buy
They've
in the winter.
They've got painting at home to do to get ready
right.
for all those the guests coming through.
Yeah.
No, we see the same thing.
So that's the same thing that we want to scream at buyers right now. Like, if you're thinking about buying, do it during the winter. I know it's not all that it's cracked up to be. The house might look really ugly in the winter and you have to move in the snow and in the crazy weather, but you're probably going to get a pretty good deal on your house.
Yeah, you don't know what that pool looks like. You don't know.
No, true.
Take the cover off and it's just
But you're not competing against 15 other people that also
and
really want that house.
And you're still doing that right now. You're still
We're in multiple offers. Yeah.
Well, and again, depends on the price range, depends on, you know, the location, all that.
But yeah.
Definitely in that, I call the lower price range, but let's just say average or less price range.
Yeah.
Still seeing multiple offers if it's priced right.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's the key.
So. I know. Well, and it's, you know, the marketing strategy is going to be different for every seller and listing agent, because a seller might come to you and just say, you know what, here's about what I want. I don't want to do this whole strategy of keeping it on the market long and pricing it low. Mm-hmm. Some people are like, you know what, this is what I want out of it. I'm just going to list it there. Now you just need to get the buyers to understand, though, for that home. Don't view that home as like, oh, it's going to go another $30,000 over that, right? It's priced accordingly. But I don't know. I will say I see a lot more properties now listed without offer deadlines. And they're listing it at a price. And whether that's low or dead on, us as buyer's agents for each home are having to do kind of our own little price analysis for the buyer, which is what we do.
So the people worried about what got us started on this is that, you know, the interest rates. I'm at a low interest rate. You know, a lot of us have houses at, you know, if we have a house and we bought it a couple years ago, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, we've got a pretty good rate and it's tough to make that switch. When you get somebody who's in that boat, I mean, does it ever make sense for somebody to make the switch now?
It can. I think what drives it is, why do you want to move? So are you having to upgrade your home, downsize your home? What is the goal? Are you having to move to a different area? Mm-hmm. Do you need a different school district?
Sure, that makes
then
sense.
It makes sense to move. But there are people that I'll meet with them and they're just kind of throwing out the idea like, I don't know, I might want to move. Or are you going to move a lateral move? Maybe it doesn't make sense for you to do that.
Right.
Here's what you bought it for. Here's what you can pull out of it. If they have a ton to pull out of it, they might be like, oh yeah, let's do it then.
Ton of equity?
Ton of equity, okay. Yes. But some of the people that we meet with, we might, I don't want to say steer them, but we're just, you know, like, here are the facts. Does it make sense for you or not? That's up to them to decide yes or no. But there are some people that it might not make sense.
No, I'm in the boat where it's I'm not ready to move. But if I were, it would be more of a downsize thing.
Okay.
You know, I've got a lot of area to clean and I'm sick of it.
You would, of course, know who to call to help you with that.
Yeah,
decision,
me.
Right?
Yeah, there's some.
Wait.
Yeah, she. Well, Sue's not very busy.
Oh, shoot.
But Sue deals with expensive properties, so I've got to go to Ginger. But so I would be looking at downsizing, but I think I'm in that boat where I don't think it'd be worth what I'd end up paying in the interest rate that I would gain.
Here's what I'll do for you, Dan. I'll come over and do a free analysis.
Came and did a free analysis, and she hated my countertops.
Oh, yeah, still the countertops. He still wants to bring back the countertops.
She talked about it seven times. Dan, okay. You got to change these.
Hey, what color are those countertops?
They're maybe coming back in style.
See, this is the thing. Let's talk about the countertops.
I don't know what color.
I think they're yellow or orange or something.
No, they were like an off-white green in some areas. I don't know what color they originally were. Most of that is worn off. It's bad. It's bad. I don't think about it.
You could be coming back in style.
That's what I'm banking on.
There was a
but it was very clean dirt beige.
Was it?
Hey, beige is coming back.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Well, and let's talk about that. Two ways I want to go, but let's go to that because that's more convenient to where we're at now. When you came in, first thing you said, Ginger, was that you got a horrible headache because you're not getting enough coffee. You didn't used to drink coffee. Then you started drinking coffee and now you can't stop.
No, I can't stop.
But second thing, right after the headache thing, which I just discarded, you know,
nothing I can do about that,
you talked about the colors that you're seeing. And I thought that was really interesting because some of the, well, you just run with it, stark whites.
I'm kind of more focusing on new builds. So when I'm going into new builds, they are not using that stark white anymore. Everything is off-white, beiges, tans, taupes, even like soft yellows. We're seeing a lot of that.
We're still dark accent walls.
Yes. Yeah, they are. And when we talk about a darker accent wall or maybe a whole room or whatever it may be, it's still often earth tones. Yeah. So it's still browns, greens, and blues, which I think is pretty common. We're not seeing anything like
wood cabinets, right? Like real wood cabinets again?
Either real wood or faux wood.
Okay, but wood.
Not as much white cabinets. Yeah, you're right. It's a lot of faux wood, natural elements to a house now.
We were in that white cabinet for a long time when you think about it, when we first started seeing white over wood.
Yeah,
how long ago was that? I mean, that was
it feels
2000s at least.
Yeah, so I was gonna say close to like the 2008 2010 is I think kind of maybe earlier for you. I don't know, she's older than me, Dan.
Actually, no, I think you're right.
Yeah,
I think you're right, because when Dad started his building company, that was like what, 2003-ish or early 2000s.
Sue and Ginger. Sue, you're Ginger's mom.
Yes.
Just to clarify.
Yeah. Yes.
As Ginger's
we don't always fight like this.
Age stuff around and Sue's talking about Dad. That's that family dynamic.
Yeah. But so, yeah, in the early 2000s, we were like, ooh, white cabinets.
It was so cool.
So cool. So we've been in that a long time. It's time for
And you're seeing it.
It's fading out. Yeah.
And now that my cabinets are painted white. Yeah.
Well, Dan, my entire house is painted stark white. Literally the entire house.
Procrastination wins again. I did not paint my cabinets. They're back in.
He didn't change his counters. See?
It's all coming back. The
You're
70s
completely
will rain
fine.
Again. And I won't have to touch
dirt,
anything.
And what do we call it? Dirt beige?
What you called it, dirt beige. But it's a very clean dirt beige.
It's a good beige.
No. Benjamin Moore's Color of the Year, it comes out as we record this. We record the show. It's airing on Saturday, and the color's been released.
Okay.
But right now, I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I have no idea. But every prediction, every, indication out there is that it's going to be a warm, earthy tone.
Yes.
I just had...
I'm guessing a brown, like, kind of dark brown, but not dark.
All right. So that's your guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just was in the studio last weekend with Andy Yates from Andy Yates Design, and he went through all his predictions and was saying the same things you're saying.
Yeah.
Gray. Out. No, people don't want that. White, stark whites are out. Warmer whites are in.
Yeah.
Where they've got some of that warmth to them, but a lot of warm tones.
Yeah.
So we'll see what Benjamin, we don't know that right now. So that'll be kind of strange as this airs. It's already been released. But
there's a new color coming out. Dirt beige.
Inspired by Dan's counters.
It's not
going to
sell very well.
Not with that name.
No, it's very earthy. It's not white.
It's a little grimy.
You never know.
You could call it like Sue's beige maybe or something, but dirt beige sounds
terrible.
Yeah,
dirt beige doesn't sound
well. And if you're a homeowner or a seller and you're like, oh my gosh, my entire house is gray and stark. No, it's gray and stark white and I have white cabinets. What do I do? You're fine.
Exactly. If you like it, all this is how the trends are going and where people are at.
Yes.
But yeah, if you love it,
Yeah.
By all means, we're not going to require you. We're not going to send people around.
No.
Not yet.
No. And if you're thinking about selling, have us walk through, because if it is a big enough deal, we might give you pointers on what to do before you sell the house.
Oh, you're thinking even further down the line. You're thinking of people who are thinking about selling.
And they're like, oh my gosh, every wall in my house is gray and everything is white. It's not necessarily bad, because I think if you, depending on what gray color that you painted the walls and then how you have your furniture and artwork in the home, mm-hmm. it can look very tasteful. It's going to be terrible. But I will say, have us walk through, because we just talked about buyers are pickier now, right? So have us walk through to let you know if it is something that you are going to have to change in order to get more money. You don't have to change anything. But if you're trying to pull as much money out of the house that you want, we'll tell you if you need to paint your walls dirty beige or if you can leave them gray.
It's dirt beige, Ginger.
Dirt beige.
So let's talk about that a little bit. You just talked about the buyers being picky. You mentioned that in the beginning. You know, I want to talk about the psychology of, you know, how things have shifted. Buyers are more picky. Are there other differences that you're seeing with buyers where they've kind of shifted over the last little bit? And of course, I want to know sellers. What are they thinking and doing a little differently now?
Well, I think buyers are still watching the rates, because they're hearing, as we are hearing, that potentially the rates are going to keep dropping a little bit. Even we just we listened to two different economists, and they talked about that too, where I think we're still going to see the rates drop a little bit. Not like, you know, the fours and the threes and the two and a halves or whatever, you know.
But they're supposed to keep dropping going into next
down. Let's say they drop and people start, you know, there's always this tipping point, you know, where a bunch of people then it just feels right and they move. And we've got all these people who are kind of waiting, mm-hmm. you know, to do that. How does that impact things if all of a sudden there's now a bunch of buyers in
now
the market?
Prices go up.
Inventory.
And you might end up, I mean, is it possible that you lose out on the savings that you thought you were making by the interest rate dropping by now paying more?
Yeah.
That is true. Point well taken, because it's funny because the economist talked about that too.
Oh.
In that waiting. Yep.
That makes me pretty smart.
I was just going to say, you can talk to our company next time.
Yeah.
You don't need us.
No.
You got it. No, but they reminded us that, as you know, people are waiting, the prices are going up, and you can always refinance, right? So, and there's lenders that are offering some really good deals, or whatever you want to call it, on programs on doing the refinance. If you're going to, you know, take out a loan with them, then they'll have some specials on that. I know Northern Mortgage offers that.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably several that do, but
yeah.
So we're thinking that rates might continue down a little bit, but not a steep drop.
Mm-hmm.
But people need to be aware that could, by waiting, mm-hmm. you might lose.
Now you just have an increase of competition,
right?
Mm-hmm. That you are up against, which increases the price.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the stress.
Yep.
And the stress.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, Ginger was saying earlier, we're telling our buyers, here's your moment is coming, you mm-hmm. know. It's like I said, we're on that verge right now. We know, even though we don't want it to, at least I don't. Snow is coming. Winter is coming. Cold weather's coming. You know, people react different in the winter months. Buyers do.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, and so for those buyers that are serious about buying, I just told a buyer yesterday that they're feeling very anxious, like, oh, we got to find something, but we're not finding it. And I said, your time is coming, because we'll start to see more inventory building up.
Oh, that was a positive.
That's not a positive.
Like a threat to them. Your time is coming.
No. Like,
buy one.
Yeah.
Now, or else.
Be patient, because I believe based on our history, right?
Yep.
More inventory's coming.
It will stack
the
up.
Rates
for the
rates we just heard are going to start coming down a little bit, but don't wait too long, because
for
the reason we said.
Right.
But, you know, be patient and be diligent to be watching for what's coming up. And that's our job too, to help them do that.
So I'm curious, because Ginger, you said, you know, winter's good time to buy because the competition's less.
Okay.
That's what I'm picking up from Sue. Sue, you made a joke about I can't see the pool, and that was a joke.
Yep.
But that's a reality.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, help me think that through, because that does bring up concerns in my mind. You know, I do feel like I'm buying something where I don't know what the yard looks like,
right.
or whatever, even the roof, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, if there's mm-hmm. snow on the roof, how do people navigate all of that?
Well, there are things like home warranties that we can get attached to the home. So that would cover items. And there's even a pool waiver on there so that you can have the pool also covered for the next year. But what I
escrow too.
Yeah, you could escrow funds.
Kind of yep. sellers escrow funds for those things. Even like we didn't talk about air conditioner.
Say what that means.
So where we ask the seller to put money into an escrow that.
At the title company.
With the title company, where if. When the time came where that we were able to run the air conditioner or see the pool or, you know, whatever, the roof.
Sure.
That that money could go towards it if it's not in the condition that the buyer's expected.
Yeah, so you open the pool, the pump doesn't work. Then you go back to those escrow funds and say, well, it's, you know, $150 to get the pump running again. And that $150
would, set aside.
Yeah.
And that's pretty common.
So if you're up against competition, you're probably not going to get a seller to cover that. But I would almost rather throw the question back at the buyer. In spring, you might pay $15,000 to $20,000 more for this house.
Okay.
Can you
That's a good
can
point.
You reallocate that $15,000 to $20,000 to putting it away to possibly fix some items on the house that probably aren't going to reach $15,000 to $20,000? Now a roof, yeah, might be mm-hmm. right,
but there's also
but in the
something
spring,
in the disclosure, right? I mean, right. you yeah. do know something yes. in the paperwork and all.
Yep. And if there's no snow accumulated on top of the roof and it's relatively dry, the inspector will still go up on the roof and check the roof.
Good idea.
Or in the attic, right? They're going to check to see if there are any current
sure,
leaks.
That would be good.
Yes.
You could also ask the seller to cover your home warranty, you know, because they're making claims on the seller's disclosure that the roof is this age or the air conditioner is working or whatever. So as Ginger mentioned, get a home warranty, but you can also ask the seller to pay for that home warranty too.
Right. And so it's like $500, $600, so it's not like it's breaking the bank, to have a home warranty.
Sellers
on
will
there.
Typically rather do that than, of course, escrow a bunch of money.
Sure, that
you
makes
know?
Sense.
Yeah,
so,
safer for
yeah.
them.
I mean, we're just saying there's options, and as Ginger said, it depends on the competition. Were you in a multiple offer situation? You know, how did that offer presentation go? You know, mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's get practical in the last little bit here for anybody who's listening, who's thinking about jumping in. And, given where we're at right now, you know, what mistakes would you tell a buyer to avoid that maybe you could have skated by with in the past? But what mistakes right now are, oh, man, don't do that.
I think Sue already mentioned it. I think it's waiting too long to get in. Mm-hmm. So even if someone comes to me right now and says, we're starting an early conversation, we're going to start looking, our lease is up in June. Mm-hmm. I might say, how much is it to break that lease? Why don't we just get you pre-approved now and start a search up so you can start seeing what's on the market? Something might hit and it might be beneficial financially for you to buy out of that lease just to get that house during these winter months.
Mm-hmm. So
I think, yeah, I would say don't wait. That's my.
You agree, Sue, or
I
you want to have a throwdown?
No, I already did that, and I won.
Oh, okay.
We'll go back to the tape and see
yes.
who won.
No, I agree with that. And in addition to that, I would say get pre-approved if you're even thinking about it, because mm-hmm. I just had it the other day where someone's like, "I want to write an offer on that house." Well. Remember we talked about pre-approval. Did you do that? And they're like, no.
How long does
offers
the pre-approval
are due tomorrow?
Last?
usually about 6 months, but I mean, you can update it.
Is there a cost? I'm a complete idiot here.
No cost for pre-approval, and they don't do hard pulls. So
what's
it's
that?
Not affecting your credit score. Oh. A lot of people think, oh, if I do a pre-approval, they're going to do a hard pull on my credit and that lowers my credit score. They'll do a soft pull. And I'm speaking generally, right? Because the lenders that we work with do soft pulls.
Okay.
But she's right. Do the pre-approval now. On the pre-approval letter, it usually says an expiration of 3 months, but if nothing has changed with like your employment, savings, credit, things like that, it really can extend out further.
And then you can have it extended. I mean,
yes.
Yes.
Yep. You can extend it.
Yeah.
And there's
no
problem with that.
No problem with that.
No problem. No funds.
I mean, if I'm a listing agent and I'm looking at a pre-approval and it's older than 3 months, I'm just going to ask if they wouldn't mind getting that updated or contact the lender if I'm allowed to do that based on the permission that the buyer agent is giving me with their buyer. So yeah, usually they can be easily updated.
All right. That's really good. What about a seller? You know, what's something you would tell them is a mistake, or what's a mistake that you're seeing that you just, man, don't make that mistake.
So if a seller is turning into a buyer, because I want to talk about that briefly. And you know, I'm so brief with my words.
Oh yeah. I'm going to have to edit this like crazy. Yep. I'm already getting my editing finger worked out for this.
Okay. You just added to my time right now.
Ka-ching.
So if a seller is going to become a buyer, a lot of times they think, well, I'm going to wait to sell my home. I'm going to, you know, write that off, or thinking I can do a contingent offer. And those still are not widely easily accepted by, you know, by the person that is selling the home they want to buy. So I would say to a seller, put yourself in a position where when that house comes up that you want, the whole reason why you're moving, put yourself in a good position, put yourself in the driver's seat to be able to make that offer. So that may mean selling your house and renting for a little while, or it could mean doing something that's called an equity forward.
Very similar to like a bridge.
Yes,
loan.
Very similar, less costly. There's probably a number of lenders that offer it. We work with a lot with Northern Mortgage, and they offer that. So at a low cost, then what happens is the equity from the home that they own, then that gets applied towards the purchase of the home they're going to buy. Now, you do have to have a certain amount of equity in that home that they currently own in order to do that, mm-hmm. you know. So, but it has worked really well for us in the past to be able to, and even the recent past, to be able to do that and, you know, be able to buy that home. But again, you need to meet with that lender, get pre-approved to figure out how you're going to do it. But I don't know. All
so for
too often,
a seller, you're saying sell it and then do what you've got to do to.
Yep.
And possibly short-term rent.
Yep.
Or in your mom's basement.
Or do the equity forward. If you don't, you know, if you don't want to do that kind of a move, mm-hmm. the equity forward, it works well for that, but it's just not for everybody because you have to
how
have
does that
equity.
Work? I don't understand how that works. Maybe I'm a dope.
No, you're not.
No.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
is that a joke? Am I really?
No.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was sarcasm.
Can't read my face. Can you?
I can't see it. So how does equity forward work?
Well, I did explain it. Were you not listening?
I didn't understand it.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. She just came at you.
She did.
You kind of have to dumb it down. Okay. Ooh, that was the wrong word.
Oh my goodness.
And
yes, Sue, dumb it down for a complete moron.
And all the listeners are like, yikes. Cause they're also like, I don't understand what this is.
Yeah. So
I've got equity in my house.
You have equity in your home and you...
I sell my house.
No, you don't want to sell... Well, you will eventually, but let's say you don't want to sell your house until you find that home that you want to purchase. Because that's usually where sellers are at. That freaks them out to think, okay, we're going to sell our house and we don't know where we're going and we're going to have to rent. And how long are we going to have to rent? So if you have equity in your home, then what you can do is take that equity through an equity forward program, and that equity will get rolled into the new purchase. So you'll be able to write an offer that is not contingent upon the sale of the one that you want to sell, like your current home.
Okay.
Okay. Because as we said earlier, if you don't have to do a contingent offer, that's the best place to be, right? You can get, typically you can negotiate with the seller easier, because otherwise that puts that sale at risk.
Mm-hmm.
What if they don't sell their home?
Yeah.
So then what happens is if that offer gets accepted on with the equity forward with a non-contingent offer, right? So then what happens is the home that they're in then gets listed. While they're traveling towards a closing of the one they're going to buy, that house gets listed. They may or may not need to use that equity forward program that we talked about because it might sell right away.
Then, if it doesn't, then that's where this, equity forward
kind of bridges that gap, mm-hmm. and then it gets rolled into the new mortgage. You know, whatever money from the sale goes towards the new purchase. And then a new loan is created for the remainder.
And not everybody does that, but some of the people you work with have done that, and it's worked out really well.
Yeah, I've
seen
a ton of them. Yeah,
really good.
Yeah, because it helps that seller that's like, I don't want to move. I don't want to sell my home till I know what I want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good program.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add to that, Ginger?
I hope. No, I was going to go back to, like, you know, a bridge loan in general, because a lot of people have, like, ooh, bridge loan, and I don't even
need a bridge. I don't know why you would have me get one of those.
You're bridging the gap to that next house, so you're going to get a short term loan for the equity that you're pulling out of your house, and typically it's only interest only payments on whatever you're pulling out of that house. So a lot of people have that bad. I don't know why. It's probably prior to my time, because there's so many, you know, people that are like, bridge loans are terrible. No, they can be similar to the equity forward program. It's very helpful for sellers.
There's a lot of different things sellers could do. Talk to your realtors. They'll direct you and get you talking to the right people.
Yeah.
So if you had one thing that you'd say to, you know, a piece of encouragement, let's leave it at that. One piece of encouragement that you'd give to people out there who are, you know, just maybe a little frustrated, maybe a little concerned right now, whether they're buyers, whether they're sellers, what would you say?
Happy things are coming.
Okay, the future's possibly bright.
The future is bright. We're heading into a time that we're supposed to start to see the rates drop. I think it's going to be a really good winter and spring market. I mean, we don't have a crystal ball. We have no idea. It's all speculation, right?
You're
but
just
I do
pulling
think
pulling things out of the air left and right.
You wanted positivity. I am bringing it to you.
I appreciate that.
Happy times are coming,
Sue.
No, I would agree with that. We're still in a seller's market, but the needle has moved a little bit, giving buyers more advantage than what they had, let's say, you know, a year ago.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
And like Ginger said earlier, there's less multiple offers than we saw before. I mean, that was a frenzy. I wouldn't say we're in a frenzy anymore, but it's still a good market for sellers.
Still very good.
Still a very good market for buyers. And especially as we're seeing those interest rates come down.
So we're basically went full circle and went right back to your three words, still looking good or
still looking good.
Something like that. If our listeners want to reach out.
Did you think that was referring to you?
No, I knew it wasn't.
Okay, sorry.
No, there was no confusion there. You've been clear in your ideas.
Dan, has anyone told you this week you're looking great?
No, that never happens.
Okay, you're looking great.
I have a recording that I play to myself periodically when I need that.
We still love you. Anyways,
I know. I appreciate that. If our listeners want to get in touch with you guys, how do they best do that?
Well, you better call Sue. She's slow.
Sue's got plenty of openings. If you've got like crazy expensive stuff you're trying to sell.
We shouldn't say I'm slow. I'm slower than normal. And what did you mean by that?
And listen, they've been listening this whole segment. So, right? They should know. We were joking about it.
Yeah, we joked about it. We had a throwdown. If you missed it, go catch it in the podcast. Sue, how do they get in touch with
you?
She
can't even say her number. It's 616-723-2400.
That's Sue?
That's Sue.
How do they get in touch
Ginger
with you?
Ginger Herman, 616-633-5880.
And they can find you online at
suprins.com.
You got it.
Right.
I'm done laughing now.
No, Sue's taking a deep breath. I think that's good.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies, for being here, for, you know, insulting me periodically, letting me insult you, insulting each other. It's been great.
We have fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. It was fun.
And that's going to do it. That's going to wrap up our real estate market check-in with Sue Prins and Ginger Herman from the Sue Prins Group, five-star real estate leaders. And whether you're buying, whether you're selling, or, you know, whether you're just staying put for now, I really think the key takeaway in all of this is that the market's always changing, you know, but good information and solid planning can make all the difference. Now, if you'd like to hear more conversations like this one or catch past episodes, you can find Home in Progress wherever you listen to podcasts or check it out at repcolite.com. For Home in Progress, I'm Dan Hansen. Thanks for listening.